It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Riley Gates, our K-State insider and former high school football and basketball star.
Vinary fumbles the snap, picks it back up. Pressure comes from Luke Geiler. He backs into the end zone, and Blue Jays are going to get two more points. Riley Gates back there as well as Caleb Brummer.
Okay, so he isn't Darren Sproles or Dean Wade. Cool last name, by the way. But Riley's knowledge knows no bounds.
I love Whataburger. I really like the patty melt.
And if you want bold predictions that aren't worth a hoot, then Riley is your guy.
So if they were to win against Texas Tech, they would probably end up being 5-2. There's no way they beat Texas Tech at home. You can record this, tape it, play it whenever they do it, and prove me wrong, but I don't see that at all.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
They have this game where you put in a dollar and you win four quarters! I win every time!
It's Go Power Cat's very own Riley Gates. Brought to you by Hanson Auction and Realty in Beloit. And by Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Right now on the Sports Ticket.
Well, we were talking about that story. I was telling Riley as we're getting him lined up on the phone, and I was talking with it with Dusty there a little bit ago here on the Sports Ticket. But, you know, technically we do not know who that person was that bet $250 on a 400-1 bet that the Rams had scored just exactly 3 points in the Super Bowl. So I must ask this question of Riley right off the bat. Riley, did you place a $250 bet on the Rams to score 3 points on the Super Bowl?
I have gambled on sports one time in my life when I was in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
I put $20 down on a Cowboys to cover it on Thanksgiving, and I lost $20. So, no, it was not me. If it was me, I don't know if I'd be on this radio show right now.
Probably.
Because I'd probably be spending $100,000 some way, shape, or form.
That, or you'd be stressed out in the emergency room after that whole thing on that last kick by Zuerlein, hoping you win $100,000.
That too.
Yeah,
that too.
That's just amazing. That's a smart bet by that guy, no question. And he obviously has to add 250 he's willing to lose to do it. I probably would have put, five, 10, 25, or 20, but I wouldn't have put that much. And that still would have paid out. Pretty good stuff, 400-1 odds. We mentioned that with Riley. Riley is our Wildcat insider, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company with Go Power Cat, gopowercat.com, and you can read his work online and make sure you subscribe to the service. And there's a lot to talk about when it comes to K-State athletics right now. And, of course, at the top of that list is the showdown tonight between KU and K-State. We'll get to that in a moment. But I want to go back to the Oklahoma State game where K-State went out. Unlike against A&M, a team they should have probably drilled, they didn't. They go down to Stillwater, took care of business, and it helps when you make 16 three-pointers.
Yeah, the most three-pointers in the history of the school and conference games and the second most in school history. It's a decent day to shoot from the outside when you do that. But I got to say, it's a little bit out of character for this team to do that. I mean, we know how bad they are from the outside, and they just couldn't miss on Saturday. So, I think it was a pretty good game, and I was just telling somebody else that I was speaking to, it was very reminiscent, that game, of what they did in the NCAA tournament when they made the run to the Elite Eight, because we've seen them, you know, the Texas Tech game, for example. The offense wasn't very good, but the defense was just so strong that they won by 13. We've seen games where the offense is really strong, the defense struggles, but they have just enough offense to squeak it out. But this was the perfect combination of offense and defense. I think that's probably the biggest scoring drought I've ever covered in person, was over 9 minutes where Oklahoma State didn't score a single point. They went the final 316 of the first half without scoring, and then the first 601 of the second half without scoring. And that was just remarkable. So it was a really good game. Now, take it with a grain of salt, because Oklahoma State, I think Mike Boynton's a terrific coach, but he's just fallen on hard times. You know, 6 or 7 scholarship players is all he has. So Oklahoma State's obviously a struggling team, but you got to give credit where it's due. And K-State played a really, really good game, and obviously has confidence soaring really high right now.
Well, and speaking of confidence, Dean Wade, perfect 9 of 9, 24 points, if I remember correctly. That obviously helps his confidence going into the Sunflower Showdown tonight.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of those Dean Wade performances that we see. So, I was shocked by the 9 of 9. You know, obviously to not miss a shot is obviously special. So I was pretty shocked he was perfect from the floor. But I mean, I'm not shocked that he scored 24 points, just because we're just used to seeing Dean Wade do that. I mean, we know what he's capable of. We know what he can do. He just hasn't consistently done it over his career, unfortunately. And that's just, like we've always said, that's just the story of Dean Wade. That's just how it goes. Now, this is an interesting matchup tonight because Dean Wade scored a combined total of 42 points against KU in two attempts last year. He didn't play in the Big 12 tournament. He had 22, I believe, in Manhattan and 20 in Lawrence, or maybe it was vice versa. And it was just two really impressive games by Dean Wade. But, I mean, it's a broken record. It's a cliche by now. Kansas State needs Dean Wade to play well. Period. End of story. You got to have it if you want to win a game. And I think that Dean Wade probably knows that, and he knows just how effective he's going to have to be tonight.
It's a big game, huge game, of course. And Fran Franchella said last night in the Texas Tech-West Virginia game, which was a horrible game to watch, by the way. You were talking about long scoring drought for Oklahoma State. West Virginia couldn't buy a bucket, and they were stuck on 24 points midway through the second half. I flipped back like 20 minutes later, and they only scored 2 points during that span. Rough night. Texas Tech rolled 81-50. But what he said during the broadcast was they were talking about KU, K-State, promoing it for TV, and he said K-State must win tomorrow night if Kansas is going to be knocked off their perch atop the Big 12 throne. Now, I agree with that for K-State's sake. Now, you know, if K-State loses this game tonight, Iowa State, others still have a chance. Baylor, of course, and K-State still would have a chance. But I think logically and realistically, if K-State's going to be the team that knocks KU off the perch atop the Big 12, they have to win tonight, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously because, you know, just it's going to give them a 1.5, 2-game lead or whatever on KU. And I think it's pretty tough to just hand away a 2-game lead. But also, and this is more so to the point, go back to that 2012-2013 season when K-State tied KU for the Big 12 championship. K-State had to literally rely on KU to lose a game. I think it was
at Waco.
Was it? Baylor. I couldn't remember who it was. Yep. They had to rely on KU to lose a game in order to get a share of the conference championship. And that's because K-State didn't do enough personally that year. They lost to KU twice, and then three times when you add in the Big 12 tournament. And they lost to Oklahoma State that day, putting the ball in KU's court. You can't afford, if you want to win the Big 12, you can't afford to put it in KU's hands and say, well, hopefully they lose. Hopefully someone else beats them. Because we've seen this KU team do this all the time. I would have pegged KU to struggle with Texas Tech last week. You know, maybe not necessarily lose, but absolutely make it a game. And then KU goes and blows out Texas Tech. So you got to get this win. Just overall beating them. You obviously want the tiebreaker if it comes down to that, just for bragging rights. I mean, and that's why this game is so crucial, aside from all the rivalry aspects of it. But at the end of the day, winning the conference, you want to have control of it. You want it to be because you did something, not because you prayed and thankfully West Virginia pulled something off again or Iowa State caught fire one night or something like that.
Yeah, and you also, this would help you come tournament selection time for your seed, having a win against the Kansas stands out, whether Kansas is ranked 15th or 5th in the country. Go Powercats. Riley Gates, our guest every Tuesday here on the Sports Ticket, our Wildcat Insider, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Marcus Garrett did not play against Texas Tech, and I thought, KU's in trouble, and they went out and blew out Texas Tech. It helps when you make 13 threes, which Kansas did. And Marcus Garrett is an interesting player, because he's not going to play tonight, according to Bill Self. He has an ankle injury. He suffered that the day before practice on Friday. Saturday didn't play against Texas Tech. And I think a lot of people thought, okay, KU is going to be in big trouble. They don't have their best defender on the floor. He can guard 1 through 5, any position. But the flip side of that is he's an offensive liability. Even though he's had some good games recently offensively, that's only because teams don't know how to play him. And that is, don't let him drive right. Don't let him drive to the hoop. Lay off him about 10 feet. Pack it in defensively and see if he can make some three-point shots. And for the most part in his career, he can't. And he's an offensive liability from the perimeter. So that you kind of feel good if you're an opponent of Kansas because, okay, Garrett's not going to play. He's a lockdown defender. But on the flip side, that puts another shooter on the floor like a Charlie Moore or somebody like Abaji, or they can go three freshmen in the backcourt, Dotson and Grimes and Abaji. They've got, and then Vic, if he's hot or cold, who knows what Kansas is going to do. they have more offensive threats on the floor. So where Kansas loses defense, they gain an offense. And I think you would agree, if this becomes a game in the 70s, upper 60s, 70s, K-State's in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to stay in the 60s and 50s if K-State wants a prayer to win this game. They just don't have the offense to compete with KU. And I got to tell you, Ochai Agbaji, I really like him. I really think he's a terrific player, and he is someone that I think could do some big things tonight. But, you know, you mentioned the Marcus Garrett injury and him being out, and that's huge. It just changes the dynamic so much, and I think it's a little bit of positive, and also at the same time, it kind of puts K-State at a bit of a disadvantage. Now, you know, I know he's not huge. He's not a Dean Wade size guy or anything like that, obviously, but I think he added more beef down low, a little bit more size, even though he is a little bit shorter than you would probably consider a post. But I think he could kind of play tough. He could kind of defend around there and, you know, maybe guard a McCall Moline while Dedrick Lawson takes Dean Wade or something like that, you know, maybe something like that. But with him off the floor, you're now going with four guys that are 6'5" or under and Dedrick Lawson. So I think it puts K-State at a disadvantage in terms of the fact that KU has they'll be able to go small. They'll be able to score with four guards on the floor. And I don't think K-State, if they try to go small, they're going to be able to compete. So I would really hope that Bruce Weber doesn't go that way. Now, it puts K-State at an advantage because someone is going to be guarded by a 6'5" guy between McCall Moline and Dean Wade.
Yep.
One of those guys is going to go off tonight. I mean, there's just absolutely no way that the posts can't get something going, whether it's Dean Wade, whether it's McCall, because they just have the size, and we've seen them do it. We saw McCall Moline put up 29 against this team in Kansas City last year, and as I said earlier, we saw Dean Wade put up a combined total of 42 against them in two different appearances. Somebody has to exploit this mismatch down low. Somebody has to take advantage of it, and they just need to feed them all day long. Whether it's a zone, whether it's a man, I don't care. Find a way to get the ball into the post and score. And I think that's going to put K-State at an advantage. Now, KU has another advantage when it comes to defense because I don't know who's going to guard Dedrick Lawson.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different ways I can go about this. I think it's going to be Dean Wade because I think he's a more athletic type. I think he is a better defender than McCall Moline. But Dedrick Lawson's going to get fouls. I mean, A, he's just a player that's going to draw fouls. And B, and I don't mean this as a slam, I just mean this as a fact, KU is going to get more calls. It's just the way that basketball goes. So they're going to get those maybe touchy fouls down low, and you don't want Dean Wade picking up those two fouls in the first 5 minutes of action. So what do you do? Do you put McCall Moline on him and hope that he steps it up? Do you pull Austin Trice off the bench and, say, defend him and get some fouls? I think that might be an interesting strategy, but also at the same time, you're putting Austin Trice on the floor and giving K-State or giving KU an opportunity to go on one of those infamous 12-0 runs. So it's a really confusing matchup, puzzling matchup, and one I'm really interested to see how Bruce Weber handles it because I don't know what the right answer is because I can make an argument against any point that I can make to defend Dedrick Lawson.
I think a wild card to this game would be who goes zone first. Because if K-State gets in foul trouble, they don't have a lot of depth off the bench. If Mayween or Wade gets some touchy fouls, as you mentioned, they get in foul trouble and they got to protect. They go to a zone. And, you know, Kansas is not a good outside shooting team, and neither is K-State. And we know all about the problems K-State has against zone defenses. And I was joking with Dusty earlier, you know, K-State just hit 16 threes at Oklahoma State. KU just made 13 threes at home against Texas Tech. These two teams will probably go a collective combined 4 of 35 or something from three tonight. And it's going to be an ugly low-scoring game, which I think would be advantage to Kansas State. But I think it would be interesting to see, because of the things you pointed out, and I thought those were really good observations, is that who's going to guard Lawson? Who's going to guard Wade? And then KU's undersized against Mayween. You know, if Lawson takes Mayween, then who's going to guard Wade? And then if Lawson guards Wade, who guards Mayween? To me, if K-State is worried about foul trouble and the lack of depth they have, and they don't want Wade to have to guard Lawson all the time one-on-one, maybe mix in some zone a little bit and see if Kansas makes a few three-pointers. Because Kansas, I mean, really for the most part this year, if you watch them, Gerald Vick is their main three-point shooter. And he's either hot, where he's cold, And he has struggled at times on the road, and this is a road game tonight. I'm really fascinated to see which coach will go zone first, because I think we're going to see somebody play at least a little bit of zone tonight.
Yeah, I think you make a good point there, and it would be interesting. I'll say this. I don't think K-State should go zone, you know, unless they get in a major, major foul trouble. And mm-hmm. I'm talking Barry Brown and Dean Wade have three.
Yeah.
Zone defense isn't what they've built themselves on. Zone defense isn't how they beat Texas Tech. It isn't how they've won six of their last seven games and six straight conference games. They've done it with a suffocating man defense. And this is one of those moments where I say, to heck with the film, to heck with the scouting. You do what you do. Make them beat you at what you do, and if it happens, it happens. But don't adjust and hope that, you know, your new game plan is the right one. I think they need to stick in the man all night. Now, on the flip side, I think Bill Self is incredibly, incredibly poor at making decisions if he doesn't go in a zone right out of the gate tonight. When you have Bruce Weber last year in the postgame literally saying that they didn't prepare for the zone is what cost them the game, and you've seen what K-State's done against the zone this year, I don't see how you can't zone this team. I know KU's a very good defensive man team too. I know they're very close to K-State in terms of defensive efficiency, and their man is a big part of that. And it literally goes against what I just said about K-State mm-hmm. in terms of playing what got you there. But I think this is one of the instances where you have to look at it and say K-State can't beat a zone. And it's been proven multiple times. It's what Tulsa did. It's what Texas A&M did. It's what Texas did while also knocking down a ton of three-pointers. I just don't see why you wouldn't zone K-State if you're Bill Self. And if they beat you in the zone, then fine. You take it and you move on. But I think playing the man, playing that fast up-tempo, allowing K-State to really just kind of take it and run with it is going to mean bad things for KU, bad things for Bill Self. So I wouldn't anticipate him coming out in the zone, but I'm not a basketball coach. Bill Self's smarter than me. Maybe he's got something off his sleeve.
If I'm Bill Self, I'm thinking a couple things. One, I start in man because that sends a message. You start in zone that you can't defend a man, and that's their forte. So I understand playing man. Same thing with Bruce Weber and K-State. You do what's best. But if Lawson picks up an early foul and you want to keep him on the floor, you got to play some zone. And you know that K-State isn't good against it. Or you can go, you know, a lot of people forget this. You can go triangle and two. You could go Wade and Brown and go triangle and two. You don't see a lot of that. But I tell you what, I remember Bill Self did it once against North Carolina. Roy Williams was clueless on a box and one, and they didn't adjust to it. And you don't see a lot of teams do that anymore, a box and one or a triangle and two. And I could almost say K-State could try something like that as well, because KU's got two really good offensive players when they're on, and that's Lawson and Vic. And so those are two guys that, you know, Barry Brown could still play man-to-man, which, by the way, Marcus Garrett is a really good defender. Don't get me wrong, but seeing Barry Brown's up close and personal, man, that kid is just a junkyard dog when it comes to defense. He is, I think, underrated defensively, even though he does get defensive awards in the Big 12. I think across the country people don't appreciate how good he is on the ball defender.
I agree with that. You know, I respect Frank Fraschilla. I think he's a pretty smart guy, but I think saying that Marcus Garrett was the best defensive player in the Big 12 when in a game against Texas Tech where there were probably three, you could argue two or three defenders better than Marcus Garrett, I found that pretty inaccurate. But going back to your point about the triangle and two, the box and one, it sounds like K-State's going to be prepared for something like that. I don't know. Bruce, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but Bruce Weber continued to mention triangle and two. I bet he said it two or three times. And how, you know, I guess I didn't, in fairness, I didn't see the entire Kentucky game against KU. But he made it sound like KU triangle and two Kentucky a little bit.
They did.
And Kentucky wasn't prepared for it. So I think you gotta anticipate that KU might do that. And I think K-State's definitely preparing for that as well. But the good thing about Bill Self, if you're a KU fan, is he's terrific at defensive adjustments. I don't know if there's a better coach out there when it comes to, okay, this defense isn't working. Well, boom, let's do this. You know, I think Bruce Weber's obviously a terrific defensive coach, but I think he kind of tends to stick to his guns because he knows just how good it can be. And if it's not going well, it's more so execution than a team beating it. I would anticipate we see a lot of KU defenses tonight, probably both man and zone, and probably multiple zones. It's going to be a really fascinating game. And like I said, if I had to guess, I don't think any team is going to close that 70-point mark tonight. It definitely feels like we're going to have a low-scoring battle on our hands.
Yeah, I agree with you. No question on that. And if that's the case, offense is a premium. Then sometimes you come down to a close game, it comes down to coaching. And I think most people would say they would pick Bill Self over Bruce Weber. Not to say Bruce Weber's not a good coach. He is. But Bill Self, one of the things that Bill Self's really amazing at, in my opinion, is out-of-bound plays. After a timeout, after a stop-engine play, Kansas gets so many good looks on out-of-bounds plays. Sometimes a layup, a dunk. And there's times where you probably know what's coming, and they still can execute it. And that's where you get a few easy points or a few easy buckets, which you could say the same thing for both sides in regards to defense. You know, Barry Brown gets a steal and a layup. That's big in a game like this because I think possessions are going to have to be valued. You're going to have to protect the basketball. And I agree it's going to be a low-scoring game tonight, which I think favors Kansas State. So what's your prediction so we can go opposite of you? KU, K-State tonight, give me a winner. Give me a final score.
Yeah, that's the big question, right? What do I think is going to happen so you know the opposite of what's actually going to happen? Man, I've been wrestling with this a lot, and this morning when I woke up, I got that feeling, you know. I can talk to you about defenses, I can talk to you about points, things like that, but at the end of the day, a lot of things go with gut, and this reminds me a lot of that 2008 season, that season when, and then also the season when Jacob Pullen went off. You just have the feelings, the gut feelings, when K-State's going to get the job done. And that's kind of what I'm feeling today. But, man, I just don't – man, I hate this. I don't think I can go with K-State fully. I just feel like Bill Self got that game against Texas Tech that's going to springboard this team. It feels like their motivation is going to be just – at an all-time high for this game, and I think they know just how important this game is in terms of continuing their streak. I'm going to go KU, and I think it's going to be a literally down-to-the-wire, decided-in-the-last-minute game. I'm going to go KU 67-65, and I think, like I said, I think it's going to be KU, but honestly, I think a K-State win close wouldn't shock me either. Whoever wins, it's going to be close. I think I'm going to have to go with Bill Self in this one.
All right. So a few years ago, and Dusty knows this, it was on the radio. It was recorded. I had a prediction, and my predictions, by the way, Riley, sometimes are a little bit off as well. But one year, actually, I think the last two times K-State's beat KU in Manhattan, I picked K-State to win, and K-State fans told me I was insane. And then they ended up winning, and I looked brilliant. One year I predicted the exact final score, I kid you not, 59-55. And that only worked because Elijah Johnson bricked two free throws with like 5 seconds to go. So that saved me the 59-55. And my oldest son at the time said, "Dad, why didn't you bet on this game?" I'm like, yeah, you're right. Probably should have.
Yeah.
So here's what my crystal ball says, which I would say you probably want to take the opposite of me, but I did get one right a few years ago, dead on. I'm feeling a low scoring game. I don't know why. I think the officials, it's going to be rough. It's going to be physical. I think they're going to let them play a little bit tonight because it is a marquee game on ESPN. It is, you know, number one versus number two in the Big 12. Of course, no disrespect. Baylor's tied atop the Big 12 with K-State right now. I'm going to say K-State pulls it out, and I'm going to say it's going to be low scoring. It's going to be a bit ugly, which is exactly what K-State wants. And I'm going to say K-State 55, KU 52. It's not going to be a game where you go, "Wow, that was awesome to watch offensively." That's my prediction. K-State by 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think K-State can do it. Look, I'm going to put it this way. If K-State's going to do it in the next 3 seasons, 4 seasons, it's going to be tonight.
Yes.
It's going to happen tonight if it's going
to
happen.
I agree with you. Okay, I'll get to the boring question off the wall here in a moment. Real quickly, Blake Seiler going to West Virginia. Anybody surprised by that?
Yeah, very shocking. Didn't see it coming. Obviously, I thought, you know, once he accepted the demotion to defensive lines coach, he was just going to stick around for the long. I know, I thought he wouldn't be here that long. I thought he would probably look somewhere else, but I didn't think it would happen this year. Now, at the end of the day, it doesn't come off as all that shocking because of, you know, the fact he was demoted from defensive coordinator to defensive line and passed over twice for the defensive coordinator job. You know, when Ted Monachino left, he didn't get the job again. So I guess I understand Blake Seiler's decision. You know, he said in terms of, you know, people have said around him, I guess, not necessarily Blake Seiler on the record, but, you know, it's a move closer back to his wife's family, and he wants to do that. So, I mean, that makes sense. But at the end of the day, he wants to become a defensive coordinator and probably wants to become a head coach someday. But here's the thing, defensive line coaches, defensive end coaches, they don't get promoted to defensive coordinator unless you're in a situation like Blake Seiler was with Bill Snyder, where nobody else was going to come into to Bill Snyder's coaching staff that late in his career. Mm-hmm. He knows you've got to be a linebacker coach to get that promotion to defensive coordinator, and clearly he wasn't going to be that here, so why not go look for a new venture, a new journey, and try to get back to where you want to be? It hurts K-State as in terms of production on the field and in terms of recruiting, but it's very tough to blame Blake Seiler for making this decision.
No, doing what's best for his family. I totally get it. I respect it as well. All right, time for the off-the-wall question for you. It's a three-part question. We mentioned how not having a lot of offense can be boring to some people. A lot of people were bored by the Super Bowl over the weekend. So a three-part question. I'll start with part one. What grade would you give the Super Bowl? A to F, what would be your Riley Gates grade?
B minus. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Obviously, the offense wasn't there, but I'm a fan of defensive football, and you know, sometimes you don't get the 59-45 football game. I thought it was fine.
Okay. I like defense, but I don't like eight straight punts by a team in a Super Bowl. So I gave it a D+. Halftime show. A through F, Maroon 5, Big Boy, and, well, who was the other one? Travis Scott, who had to be bleeped out multiple times.
Yeah, I'll give it a C+. I really like Travis Scott, and I thought the incorporation with SpongeBob and the Bubble Bowl was really, really fun and pretty unique. But it wasn't a great experience for the halftime show, so I'll go C+.
All right, and then finally the commercials, the ads overall, A through F. How'd you rate those?
If this makes sense, I'll say the ones that I really liked were A's, and the ones that I didn't like I didn't watch and go, wow, that was a great commercial. Those were S,
uh-huh.
And so I think I got to average it out to like a C- or a D+. Like, okay. You know, I really really liked which one was it? The Pepsi one with Steve Carell,
uh-huh.
And. I forget who else was in that commercial. I really liked that one. But then, like, there were some other ones that I was just like, I don't get this.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there were too many movie trailers in there. And so I would say that the bad outweighed the good. But I thought there were more good ones than people said.
The NFL 100 was a really good one with the 44 players. Yeah. That was fantastic. I like the Joe Montana. You didn't like it, I'm sure. But Joe Montana, not today, cowboy, when Michael Irvin was wanting the ball. That was a pretty funny line. Brady's rings. And then Mahomes, the no-look pass. what was it, to Odell Beckham? I thought that was pretty cool, too. All right.
All I'm saying about Bud Light, people are going to want to criticize Bud Light for the corn syrup thing. You can criticize it all you want, but they got their job done. You're talking about Bud Light.
That's exactly right. You're absolutely right. Whether you get Game of Thrones or not, people still knew the commercial was about Bud Light. That's the thing. I see these commercials where they're super creative, and I go back and like, oh, that was a great commercial. But if I don't know what it was for, that's a horrible commercial. If you don't know mm-hmm. what the product is that they're selling, that's a horrible commercial. I mean, it might like be funny, elevator. But you don't remember it, right?
Whatever that elevator one was where they were like, oh, we're car shopping, and they kept stopping on different floors.
Yeah.
It was a hilarious commercial, but I literally could not tell you today what it was about.
Hyundai, selling Hyundai.
Okay.
That's what it was. But I got
you. There you go.
That's like 95% of the ad had nothing to do with the product that they were selling. You're right. All right. Well, I'm guessing you're going to be working on a lot of stuff tied to the Sunflower Showdown. Where can people read your work and subscribe, man?
Yeah, so get on over to GoPowerCat.com, and we've got tons of stuff. It's funny because this is the biggest basketball game of the season, and yet we did more football content yesterday.
well, yeah, because you got signing day tomorrow, right?
That, and we're talking to all assistant coaches. So yesterday morning we talked to the offensive staff. To this afternoon we will talk to the defensive staff and pick their brain, and then on Wednesday we'll talk to Coach Chris Kleiman about his signing class. So literally just so much stuff to try to get done in the next 2 weeks. And then Zach and I will fly out to Austin. We'll We'll be in Texas from Saturday to Tuesday for a Texas and Baylor swing for K-State. I compare this right now to kind of eight-man week for you guys, watching from afar. Mm-hmm. I know how busy you guys are, literally working sun up to sundown on that, and that really is not fun, working all day like that. But at the end of the day, you're doing a lot of stuff that you really enjoy, and it's really good to put out tons of content. So it's a fun time, no doubt.
Absolutely. That's well said. We see it from each side, no question. And you're right. Sometimes you put in a lot of work, but at the end it is worth it, no question. You guys do a great job. Safe travels, and we look forward to talking about this game and others next week with you, Riley.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it, Wade. We'll talk to you then.
Take care. Riley Gates, our Wildcat Insider, GoParacat.com. GoParacat, subscribe to the service. They did a great job there. Got a lot of content that if you're a K-State fan, you're really going to enjoy. And Riley's appearance every Tuesday here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company.